Case and Gregor Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev.
Got to start, Bud, with, of course, the final game of past weekend, Hamilton and Toronto. Crazy game with a two-hour delay of rain and everything, but it comes down to it. A pass interference call on the one-yard line that on the next play, Hamilton punches it in. And then, now, you know what? That play might not even cost them the game because Toronto missed a field goal that usually I think their kicker should make. But looking at that play, is it just safe to say that's the wrong call by the official?
Yes. Yeah. Not by the officials on the field. My evaluation of that game, I haven't completed it yet because I was out in Toronto, but... I've already alerted head office that the two officials that were responsible for that call are being graded correct on the call for not flagging it. I saw nothing on television to support the command center's decision. There were a number of elements to the play that could have been that could have produced a penalty. But I didn't see it. I initially said to myself, maybe they're screening. Looking at it several times, no. The hand was not shielding the receiver's eyes. So he did have an opportunity to see the ball come in. Then I thought, early contact. Certainly there was physical contact between the defender and the receiver. But it was... and we'll use the language of the rule book, slight and incidental. The rule does not say a defender cannot have his hands on the receiver or vice versa. They check each other out. They want to know where each other are on the field, etc. No. I can't support that decision to put that ball on the one-yard line. I don't believe that it was the appropriate call at that time, or frankly, at any time, and shouldn't have been made.
So, and I understand, sure, the frustration probably from Toronto more so. And that's where, when we look at Command Center, that play to me just illustrates why eliminating the amount of challenges has been better. Because
no question,
the officials
no question.
On the field have a better vantage point. They still get it right more often than not. And I think sometimes when they go to review, people start looking at it over and over, and they might convince themselves,
yes.
Oh, look at that hand. It's touching. But in the rule book, in full speed, you are allowed to have your hand on the back of the player.
Yeah, I've said it before, and I'm... The more I see situations like that, the more that I believe that you cannot officiate in two dimensions. It's a three-dimensional event that we're dealing with, and the guys on the field have got that third dimension, so they can see better than what the guys in Command Center are able to see. I've said it before, I'll continue to say it, I'm not a huge fan of it. I understand why challenges are necessary. I understand why the process has been made available, particularly on scoring plays and on, balls coming loose, players losing possession of the ball, etc. I like that because there you can see, sometimes they'll have a camera angle so you can see the ball carrier and his knee or whatever part of his body is touching the ground. You know, is it out before? Is he losing possession before something touches the ground? But golly jeepers, pass interference, that's an awful tough one. And I like what you said. I think the more you look at it, the more you can convince yourself that there's a problem.
Now, the Edmonton game, it's funny. You look at the Stampeders, least penalized team in the league, and the Eskimos, the most penalized team in the league. And there was probably some plays they could have been flagged on even more, I felt, in that game. Yeah. They were really getting handed to them by the Calgary Stampeders. And it was interesting. It started early, and Mike Riley, hard count, got Calgary to jump offside.
Interesting on his hard count.
Yeah.
Should have been flagged for procedure.
Riley should have.
He jacked his shoulders and his head on that one. That was procedure.
So procedure isn't just the O-line. Even the quarterback can.
Absolutely. The quarterback cannot, when he's under center, the quarterback cannot jack his shoulders when he's doing his hard count.
Okay.
You know, you see them jerk or move his head. The center can't move the ball. He can't jerk around either. It's a little different when they're in gun or pistol because the quarterback is back and we allow them lots of latitude. They can wave their players up, wiggle around, do all sorts of stuff. Jennings from BC is very good at pulling guys in because he does a little bum dip. He goes down in his knees a little bit and draws guys in once a game. And I've talked to Mike Benvenides about it, you know, and there's nothing in the book that says that's wrong.
Okay.
Because he's not under center.
Sure. So he's playing by the rules of the game.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly. So you are right. You know, the Eskimos were pushed that entire game. And when you've got guys that are getting pushed around on the field, you know, you're gonna find that they're going to commit more penalties. And, you know, I think that you're going to see you will see a more relaxed, more confident Edmonton Eskimo ball club on Saturday night. They're home, they're in front of their own fans, and they've got a bunch of players coming back from injury. That's going to settle down and fill some holes because, you know, they've got some stop gaps in there. You know, they're getting... Mike Riley doesn't have time set up. And, you know, just watching Monday's game, there were lots of times where he had guys open, but he didn't have the opportunity to go through his read sequence to find them. He just had to fire the ball out.
As an official, when you notice a team is clear, like the defensive line's winning the battle over an offensive line fairly handily, does the line judge have to start looking closer because there's the propensity, just looking at history, for guys maybe to want to start holding more simply because in the back of their mind, like, man, I've been getting beat a lot. Does that happen, do you find?
What you find is the umpire and the referee who are in closest proximity to the line players do a lot more talking. They're in there. If guys are getting beat and you're starting to see them flail a little bit, you'll have a private conversation with them. You know, like, listen, you know, you got to get your hands in. Or if it's particularly bad, I recall a game many years ago with one team that was absolutely, they were having a terrible season and they were playing the first place team in the league, and it was a long afternoon, and I did a lot of talking with the first place team, just saying, don't get frustrated, you're going to be held, and I'm going to let it happen, because fans don't like flags. You're going to win this game, we know it, everybody knows it, just relax, and we'll all get on the airplane and go home, and be done with this one. So there is, you will talk the players through the game, just so that you don't have massive flare-ups, because if you're not communicating, lots of times that stuff can erupt on you. And I mean, we saw many years ago a Labor Day Classic erupt into a Pier 6 brawl, and you know, that's where players will take their frustrations into fights and stuff like that, and you don't want to see that on the field.
Bud Steen joins us inside the stripes. Now, we're past Labor Day. We're into the stretch run. You guys have made some evaluations, some cuts, I guess we want to call it that, for the officials. When you have the back-to-backs, are any of the crew in Calgary on Monday in this game on Saturday, is it better, or do you guys totally avoid having officials do the same game involving the same two teams back-to-back?
Typically, you would not assign guys in back-to-backs.
Why is that?
Well, there's just nothing to be gained by doing it, quite frankly. Not that I certainly in Monday's game in Calgary, there was no issue with the officiating. I finished that game and virtually every official on the field came out with very, very high marks, and so the teams should not be upset about the crew or any specific member of that crew. Having said that, you don't know that when you're making the assignments. So, you know, we're not assigning the guys 3 or 4 days before the game. We're assigning them 3 or 4 weeks before the game. So you just avoid it. You don't want you don't want a situation to blow up.
Okay. Any other calls this past weekend that stood out for you? Because Labor Day, it is more intense. You've been on the field. You know, players have talked about it. It is more intense, and especially Saskatchewan, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Calgary, and Hamilton and Toronto. Like, it gets ratcheted up a little bit more.
Thursday's game had a very interesting play. Ottawa was pushing Montreal, and Coach Campbell attempted to challenge the result of a first down play. And unfortunately, in Ottawa, the teams are on the same side of the field, and Ottawa was deep. So they were furthest away from where the ball was, and the officials did not see his challenge flag. They then threw an incomplete pass. As it turned out, the supervisor in the park had seen the flag and confirmed to Toronto that the flag had been thrown well in advance of the snap. And so they directed the referee to pretend that the incomplete pass did not occur, and they reviewed the play. They denied the challenge, but they gave Ottawa a second down and an opportunity to score again. It's interesting because we've heard we heard early in the season a player referred to the football gods, and on that particular play, the football gods, I think, had something to do with the ensuing play, because on the second down, the ball was knocked from quarterback's hands and recovered by Montreal. So Ottawa didn't get any points out of it. The situation, to me, was not well handled, and we had communication with the director of officiating, and a memo came out the following day, on Saturday, to the general managers and head coaches and the officials, indicating that, number one, it won't happen again, and number two, it is the coach's responsibility to get the attention of the officials. I directed Coach Maz at practice after that game that if he found himself in a situation where the officials weren't seeing his challenge flag, to run out on the middle, out to the middle of the field screaming, so that it then did get someone's attention, so that they wouldn't let the snap go. We've moved on from that. I was certainly afraid that a very dangerous precedent had been set by allowing a play to occur and then going back and challenging or reviewing the previous play. From the Saskatchewan game, no, there wasn't anything in that game, and I only watched it as a spectator. There wasn't anything in that game that I found to be unusual or upsetting. On this weekend coming, I would suspect that the Banjo Bowl is going to be an unbelievably entertaining football game. Those two ball clubs are playing right at the top of their games right now, and that one is going to be, you know, a game to see.
Oh, it should be really good. And the Eskimo Stamps is always great.
Oh, great. You know, Saturday night, it's going to be a great night. If this weather will hold, Edmontonians, again, should be in for a real treat. With a bit of luck, we might see Walker on the field, and certainly some of the other injury reserve players back out again. So, you know, I think we're going to have a very entertaining football game. And typically, you don't see a sweep of the Labor Day series. So, you know, it looks good for home team. You know, get out there and support the Eskimos.